Welcome to Mission Peak. We hope you enjoy this podcast, and please come see us on Sunday morning. Thanks for listening.
Rhythm that the rain was playing on our skylights, and I was thinking, well, we're going to talk about happiness tomorrow. It doesn't exactly feel like the happiest of weather, but then I started to think about what rain really makes me feel, and it makes me feel so lucky to be in a nice warm house and have all the clothes I need to keep me warm, and so it really was a reminder of all the good things that I am happy about in my life. And then, of course, as I drove in this morning, I saw a little puff of mist hanging on to the Mission Peak up there. It was all clearing, and so looks like there was some happiness in our weather forecast as well. So that's a nice change, and who knows how long we'll stick around, but we'll be grateful for it. And we will be talking about happiness today. This is the result of Pat and Doug Rogers winning my sermon for sale at the Black and White auction. So we'll be talking some about the art of happiness later. And with that said, I'd like to invite today's worship associate, Yvonne Hughes, to the pulpit to tell us more about some of the exciting upcoming activities of this community.
Good morning. Our life is much more, as a spiritual community, is more than just our Sunday service. And if you take a look in your insert inside the order of service, you'll see an extra sheet there with the announcements for the week. And I'll just highlight a couple. The Inquirer's class is going to be held today after our service. And any newcomers interested in membership, or just anyone who's interested in learning about Unitarian Universalism, can meet with Jeremy at the class. Jeremy and Jeremy. So we're also starting our canvas season parties are starting to begin, and the dessert party, there'll be one today right after the service in the Ackerman room, which is at this hall.
Right
across from here. Okay, and the meeting will start at 11:30 and go until about 1 o'clock this afternoon. So there's also one final dessert party this Thursday from 7 till 9, and you can speak to Natalie Campbell. I believe she's here. There she is, Natalie. If you have any questions. So we also have our Shared Plate Month next month. So it'll be for the East Bay Children's Book Project. So please take a look at that paragraph, because we're going to do something a little different with books. And if you have any children's books, please bring them along on that date. And so if you have any questions at all, just let us know. We'll be happy to fill you in. Thank you.
We come together this morning to remind one another to rest for a moment on the forming edge of our lives, to resist the headlong tumble into the next moment until we claim for ourselves awareness and gratitude, taking the time to look into one another's faces and see their communion, the reflection of our own eyes. This house of laughter and silence, memory and hope, is hallowed by our presence together. Would you now please rise as you are willing or able and join me in singing today's opening hymn. It's number 361, Enter, Rejoice, and Come In.
Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay. This story is called The Poor Bunny's Magic Present. And so once upon a time, long ago, in a place far, far away, there were animals that were suffering greatly from drought and hunger. They didn't have any food. And this poor little bunny, his name is Benjamin Bunny. And Benjamin was walking sadly through the fields one day, and he was all upset because he was very hungry, and I bet I'd be really happy if I had like a whole cabbage to eat, or maybe even a bunch of carrots. Boy, that sure would make me happy. And then all of a sudden, a wizard appeared, and he brought the bunny a little bag.
They are magical, and they're even more magical if you know how to use them properly, said the wizard. The bunny was dying of hunger, but he decided not to eat the bouquets. He wanted to put them to good use.
Thank you, Mr. Wizard. The bag is back there. The wizard forgot his bet. Thank you, Mr. Wizard. Appreciate it so much. What's in there? Oh, flowers, bouquets. How interesting. I wonder what they'll do. So on his way home, the magical bunny said, if you know how to use them properly, said the wizard, that I could do something with these. And then all of a sudden, up came. We didn't rehearse this. Sorry, guys. Up came a sad, wobbly old lamb, and the lamb said, dear bunny, do you have anything for me? And the bunny said, well, all I have are these bouquet of flowers, but I'll give it to you. So, well, thank you, bunny, that's very kind of you. So off went the lamb, and the bunny continued down the road. He was walking along, and he thought to himself, oh, gosh, well, there goes one bouquet. And I really didn't want to give that away, but, oh, I guess Mom and Dad would think it was the right thing to do. And then up came a stinky duck. And this was a little baby duckling, and the baby duckling was saying, what do you got for me? Anything? And the bunny's like, well, gosh, okay. All I have are these flowers, but you're welcome to them. And all of a sudden, the flowers began to shine. And they were just shining and sparkly. And it's like magic happened. And the little ducky said, thank you. And he went off. And then finally, down the road, was this skinny old cow. And the cow was very skinny, and he didn't have any milk or anything. It's like, moo, I'm so hungry. Little bunny, do you have anything for me? And the bunny says, well, I don't have any food, but I do have these flowers. Oh, thank you. They're so beautiful, but I might munch them later. Thank you, bunny. You're welcome. So the bunny headed home. And he got home and he said, Mom and Dad, you'll never guess. Wow, I had such a great time. And I was walking along and I had met these different animals. And this wizard had given me some flowers. And I gave them the flowers. And everything was really good. And then I was so wondering what to do because now I lost all my magical bouquets. And so, but his parents were very proud of him and very proud of his behavior and how he helped give the flowers to the other animals. And so he was about to pull out the last bouquet when his little brother came running in and said, I'm hungry, I'm so hungry, I'm so hungry. And the buddy said, Benjamin said, okay, well, at least I can do is give my little brother these flowers. Thank you, Brother Bear. Thank you. I mean, Rabbit. Thank you, Benjamin. Keep these guys straight. Okay, so just at that moment,
with a great rumble of thunder, the wizard appeared again. And he asked the bunny, where are the magical bouquets I gave you? What have you done with them? The bunny was frightened, and he started to apologize. But the wizard interrupted, saying, didn't I tell you if you used them well, they'd be even more magical? Well, let's go outside and see what you've done.
Okay. I'm gonna see. And then all of a sudden, look, out there, it's all green, and there's all these trees and orchards and fruit and flowers and, oh my gosh, everything wonderful and everything with enough water and food to feed all of the animals in the land. Oh, this is so wonderful. And little Benjamin Bunny felt very happy that he acted the way he did and that he, the magic of his generosity, would bring happiness to everyone in the land. And thank you. If you're happy and you know it, clap your paws. I know you're going to be happy because you're going to get a little treat, but please, please save your happiness until your parents tell you you can have it.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. I don't think so, honey. I think this has marshmallows.
As a community, it is our practice to share the events that mark our lives. We celebrate each other's joys and pause for reflection and to share the burden of each other's concerns. Please start by giving us your name. Well, thank you to everyone who shared some piece of their life. Of course, in the coming days, we will be thinking of all of those ailing family members that we just heard of, Allison's aunt, and prayers for Natalie's grandmother, godmother, Parker, as he heals and has to miss the rest of the skiing season, the people of Libya, of course. We also had many joys shared that were wonderful to hear, the flexibility of friends that we can bring to many parts of our lives. The ability to dance is never something that should be overlooked. And this retreat that we have coming up next weekend should be a real joy for the members of this community participating in it. Our families near and far, weddings, what joyous occasions. I'm sorry we'll miss you next weekend, but we'll understand you're right where you should be. And of course, sight restored, I'm sure a huge blessing. And we share the joy of your new transition for the Pittmans, and of course we'll miss you as well. So we wish you a good journey. For all that you kept silently in your heart, we give thanks for that as well. And if there's more that you need to talk to me about later or a pastoral associate, please do let us know. Today we have a special ritual that we do on occasion, a ritual of an in-gathering when we're welcoming new members. So we're going to move into that now. And I'd ask Lucia and Len and Linda and Michelle and Brenda to please join me up here at the pulpit. So this is a ritual where new members join Mission Peak, and we'll begin with introductions. Michelle is going to introduce a few of us, and Brenda is going to introduce a few of us, and then we'll have the actual ritual, and there's an insert in your order of service that has the words for the ceremony. It should look something like that. So we'll get to that after the introductions. Michelle, why don't you get started? So, does everyone have their words, ceremony of membership and covenant? Out of their hopes and dreams, the people fashion a community of love and service. In Unitarian Universalism, membership is a matter of personal choice. a decision to join a community of caring hearts and open minds.
We give life to these ideas by supporting each other in times of joy and need, by creating worship services that encourage spiritual exploration and personal growth, by providing educational experiences for all ages that encourage our search for truth and meaning and our acceptance of religious and social diversity, and by serving the community in accordance with Unitarian
affirming one another in love, let us covenant together this day.
As members of Mission Peak Unitarian Universalist Congregation, we commit ourselves to challenge and nurture one another in our efforts to speak honestly, to act with compassion, and to live with integrity. We pledge to support Mission Peak as we are able, with hearts and hands, with talents and resources, to become a voice for passion, reason, conscience, and justice, and a community in which we can respond joyfully and graciously to all that life brings us.
Thank you very much, everyone. I'll tell you, I've been at a few of the dessert socials recently for the canvas. If you haven't been to one yet, I hope you get a chance to join us today afterwards, or next Thursday, because one of the things we do, Jackie Porter helped us come up with a really beautiful ritual that's really helping people to find the words to say what they really love about Mission Peak, and also to share kind of what their hopes and dreams are for the future. And for your minister, it has just been such a privilege and a pleasure to sit around in a room with a bunch of people who love this place and to hear why and how. It's just been a real joy for me, and I hope you get to share that as well. With that being said, and while I sign the book over here, would you please rise as you're willing and able and join me in singing today's hymn of reflection? It's number 360, Here We Have Gathered.
Thank you.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The Declaration of Independence. Each morning when I open my eyes, I say to myself, I, not events, have the power to make me happy or unhappy today. I can choose which it shall be. Yesterday is dead. Tomorrow hasn't arrived yet. I have just one day today, and I am going to be happy in it. Groucho Marx. He followed that advice. Being happy is something you have to learn. I often surprise myself by saying, wow, this is it. I guess I'm happy. I got a home I love, a career that I love. I'm even feeling more and more at peace with myself. If there's something else to happiness, let me know. I'm ambitious for that, too. Harrison Ford. My life has no purpose, no direction, no aim, no meaning, and yet I'm happy. I can't figure it out. What am I doing right? Charles Schulz. And finally, people say that money is not the key to happiness, but I always figured if you have enough money, you can have the key made. Joan Rivers. Once I started looking at quotes on happiness online, I realized I could devote an entire sermon to just these quotes. They're incredible because it's a subject that everyone at one time or another has had an opinion about. It's in our Declaration of Independence. And it's one of those rare goals that is shared by just about every living being. We want to be happy, but we don't know how. This disconnect between desire and ability is a part of the core of the human experience throughout history. But, of course, we don't live in just any place and time in human history. We live in America in the 21st century. So when it comes to happiness, you should know there is an app for that. The Happy app for iPads and iPhones is a set of mood enhancement tools that include light therapy, color therapy, and a help yourself happiness guide to help you decide which are right for you, all for the price of $1.99 download. Now, besides our friend Joan Rivers and the maker of the Happiness app, I think most people would say that happiness cannot be bought in app form or any other. But of course, this app is just the latest in a never-ending stream of devices and methods available in the marketplace to help fill our happiness gap. So we might say we know that money can't buy happiness, but it sure doesn't seem like it stopped many of us from trying. I suspect Joan Rivers is just being a little more honest than many of us. And the book I read in preparation for this sermon, as I said, supplied by the Rogers, this year's highest bidder for my sermon topic for sale at Mission Peak's annual black and white auction, is called The Art of Happiness. And it's the result of a series of conversations between an American psychiatrist and the Dalai Lama. It has one clear premise, that happiness is not an accident, and also not a one-time commodity that can be bought, sold, or traded, but that the mind can be trained to bring it about more often. So as usual, there are no shortcuts, no downloads. Even happiness takes work. What can be bought, sold, and traded is pleasure. And the Dalai Lama makes clear from the outset that most of us confuse these two concepts, desiring happiness, but chasing pleasure. Pleasure is, of course, relatively easy to come by and not necessarily a negative in the right context. Pleasure is simply a negative when it's pursued to the exclusion of what creates true happiness. But we all know pleasure. It's as easy to find as a group of good friends, a good bottle of wine, and a conversation. Pleasure is those short-term activities that make us feel good while they're happening, but leave us missing them when they are done and gone. I think it's also important to make clear from the outset that the Dalai Lama's definition of happiness may be a bit different than yours and mine. Shouldn't be too big of a surprise. We're talking about a man who has been training his entire life to be a spiritual leader. He's never had a romantic relationship, a sip of alcohol. I'm guessing he rarely takes a real vacation. We'll probably never see a picture in Star Magazine of him sunning on the beach in Waikiki. When you and I think of happiness, we usually think of fun. When the Dalai Lama speaks of happiness, he is speaking of a well-trained mind that is so calm that it does not experience suffering. It's really more of a complete lack of anxiety that is his goal, which is definitely a worthy goal, just not necessarily completely synonymous with the common Western definition of happiness. So here's some more on happiness directly from the Dalai Lama. When I say training the mind in this context, I'm not referring to mind merely as one's cognitive ability or intellect. Rather, I'm using the term in the sense of the Tibetan word sem, which has a broader meaning, closer to psyche or spirit. It includes intellect and feeling, heart and mind. By bringing about a certain inner discipline, we can undergo a transformation of our attitude, our entire outlook and approach to living. When we speak of this inner discipline, it can, of course, involve many things, many methods. But generally speaking, one begins by identifying those factors which lead to suffering, and having done this, then sets about gradually eliminating those factors and cultivating those which lead to happiness. That is the way. For the Dalai Lama, at least, it is that simple. As I thought about this process of rooting out those factors which lead to suffering and cultivating those which lead to happiness, I was reminded of a great story I heard recently from another UU minister. She was talking about a relative of hers that lives in North Carolina and runs a small farm. I like to picture this farm in my mind, tucked somewhere into those beautiful Smoky Mountains, growing incredible organic vegetables and fruit in the hot North Carolina sunshine. But of course, the farmer sees it differently. What is the great scourge of any crop farmer? Weeds. The constant battle. And so, like any farmer, this guy has to spend a lot of time dealing with all the different kinds of weeds that grow around his crop and try to steal their water and choke them out of their sun space. Any gardener, and I know we have more than a few here at Mission Peak, can relate to this constant need to be battling weeds. Well, this farmer, unlike you and I, has acres and acres of crops to deal with, so he has a special machine on the back of his tractor that he drags around that has lots of little teeth that are spaced just right so they go around the good plants but tear up the soil around them, not pulling up the weeds, but rather exposing their roots to oxygen and sunlight, and thus killing them. And this machine that kills weeds by disturbing the ground and exposing their roots is called a cultivator. In fact, she explained, most farmers use the words weeding and cultivating interchangeably. What a fascinating piece of wisdom lies within that. Weeding is cultivating. The whole metaphor is really incredible. By exposing the roots of the weeds to the light, they die, making space for the good plants to flourish. And this is exactly how the Dalai Lama says that it is for our minds in regards to happiness. By identifying those weeds in our minds, those thoughts and actions and feelings and emotions that cause suffering, we expose them to sunlight and they die, making more space for all those good things within us, like kindness and tolerance and forgiveness, to truly flourish. And a well-weeded mind is a calm mind, which is the ultimate goal of this practice, cultivating a mind that is calm. Suffering is merely the disturbance of a calm mind by all those weeds, and through this discipline, we can ensure that our mind cannot suddenly be pulled where we do not want it. The Dalai Lama actually concludes the book with a meditation that's very basic, the first step towards training your mind to accomplish this calm state. The objective of the meditation is to give you a direct experience of your own mind. Most of us have only an abstract concept of our own minds. We may think of our brains or of certain activities like thinking. But this meditation seeks to give you an actual direct experience of your mind, that which underlies those processes. It does this by teaching you to stop all of the discursive thoughts, that is, the constant rambling thoughts of our minds, so that you can enter a calm state. And the more you practice it, the longer and longer you will be able to maintain that state. So today, just as the Dalai Lama concludes many of his lectures, we are going to try to meditate on non-conceptuality. Up for that? You don't really have a choice, actually. After some breathing, you're going to attempt to maintain a mental state without conceptual thoughts. The main thing working against you will be your desire to follow the attention of your senses. A faraway sound, the way your back feels against the chair, the scent of coffee or perfume, which I'm learning for you use is the same thing, the itch of your wool socks against your skin. When one of these thoughts appears to you, withdraw inwardly from it. Refuse to follow its call. Let it sit on the shelf of your mind, but don't give it any notice. This is going to take a little practice. Eventually, with enough practice, you will attain a state of mindfulness where you will not be affected by memories of the past, sensory input from the present, or feelings of anticipation for the future. The Dalai Lama describes this as your natural or neutral state. This is your mind. He admits that this is difficult initially. We won't get there today. That's okay. So with that description, please get settled as best you can in your chair and body. This is going to be just a very short first session, so don't get anxious. So to begin, do 3 rounds of breathing with your focus entirely on your breath as you breathe in and out, inhaling and exhaling 3 times, and then begin the meditation simply retreating inwardly from all sensory inputs as they come, except for the bell. Welcome back. Now again, this was obviously just a little taste, a small window of practice to give you a glimpse of what it might take to earn happiness, not through a $1.99 download, but through a tried and true Dalai Lama tested and approved process that brings true and lasting happiness. If you have found here even a glimmer of something that interests you, and anything that keeps you use that quiet for a while should interest you. I welcome you to continue this simple practice at home for even just a few minutes a day. And also, as happy coincidence would have it, there's a one-time mindfulness meditation class being offered here at Mission Peak on Saturday, April 9th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And I'll make sure there's some more information about that in the weekly digest. But that would be another excellent opportunity for practice. May we all continue to weed our minds with all this rain that will need a little more weeding, so that they may lead us more often to happiness. May it be so. Ashe. Thank you. The offering is a ritual of the free church. It is supported by the generosity of all who join with us and is done in remembrance of all whose steadfast faith in the face of fear paved the way for us to gather today with people who share our values. The offering will now be given and received in grateful appreciation of our shared hopes and visions for a liberal religious community. Has been given to do the work of this community, we give abundant thanks. Now would you please rise as you are willing or able and join me in singing today's closing hymn. It's number 100, and we'll be doing the first four verses. The first four verses of number 100.
Thank you.
before the benediction, I just want to remind you there is a canvas dessert that will be happening in Ackerman at 11:30. Please join us, even if you haven't RSVP'd. And there's also in my office an inquirer's class for anyone interested that will start at the same time. Don't need to tell you to please rise and join hands. Help us to always be hopeful gardeners of the Spirit, who know that without darkness, nothing comes to birth, as without light, nothing flowers. May it be so. Ashe, and go in peace.